The Business Buzz Podcast. The Business Buzz with Mudiwa Mokjustice Gabaza.
Good day and welcome to the Business Buzz for your weekly dose of business, finance and economics news right here on VAW FM. That's Voice of Wits, broadcasting live from our studios in Bromfontein, Johannesburg. My name is Mdiwa Mob Justice Kavaza and I'll be your host for today. Now, who's to say that the world of business can't be entertaining? Definitely make sure you hold on to your seats as we seek to unpack and keep you entertained, educated and intrigued about the world of business. Now, for today, one of the things that's really come out of the lockdown, and we've spoken about this in the last couple of weeks, is what COVID-19 has done to employment prospects in the country. And periodically we like to have a jobs show on the Business Buzz, and today is our, you know, as our jobs show for this particular period. And to help us to navigate, you know, the topic and what's actually going on out there, we're going to be speaking to Lindy van den Besselaar, who is the managing director for Man Group South Africa, and they are a recruitment specialist talking about the state of employment in the country. We then speak to Rajan Naidu, who is the head of EduPower Skills Academy, which helps to prepare people for the workplace and employment. So that's how the show is going to be looking like. Also coming up, we're going to be getting into the business wrap with our financial expert Lebo Pasha. That's where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news, and then we get into the Buffalo Index, where we tell you the state of your 100 Rand. Now, remember that you can engage with us on all of these topics. Let us know what you think on social media. We are VAW FM, that's Voice of Wits on Facebook. Our other Facebook page is the Wits Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're at VAW FM, and then our hashtag is hashtag Business Buzz. And remember that you can also stream the station live on VAW FM. m.co.za. Podcasts of the Business Buzz Show are available on vits.journalism.co.za/business, and you can also search for our great content on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, together with Spotify and iono.fm. So that's how the show is looking like for the rest of today. Make sure you you stay locked, you engage with us, and let's just talk about what's going on in the employment sector. Keep it locked. This is the Business Buzz.
Business Rep with Lebo Pasha.
It's time for us to get into the Business Wrap. That's a part of the show where we give you a roundup of the week's top trending business and economics news. And we are joined on the line by Lebo Pasha, who is the general manager for Southern Africa at the African Management Institute. Lebo, greetings to you. How's been the week in the economy?
Greetings to you, Mudio, and greetings to the VAW FM listeners. It's been an exciting couple of weeks. I think we've seen that VW vehicle that people love to hate, and we've seen a lot of it in the media recently, and it's been doing what it used to do when we still had the Scorpion. So it's been entertaining times in South Africa.
And I guess, you know, following from that, your highlights from the president's address earlier on today about the economy?
Yeah, we've seen some really good news, and some of it maybe not so good. He's highlighted a lot of the issues that we've had, that the economy has shed 2.2 million jobs, and our GDP has contracted by a record 16.4% over the past quarter, the second quarter of this year. But the most important thing, I think, is the fact that he's gone and laid out his plans on how he thinks he's going to get South Africa creating 800,000 new job opportunities. And it's a very big promise. I'm not sure how we're going to get there, but people have already started. So the address was today, but people have already started questioning his initial promises around 1 million jobs, I think, I stand to be corrected, and how that never materialized, and that now in an even rougher economy, locally and globally, he's promising 800,000 job opportunities. And people are starting to be a bit skeptical, but it's great to see that our government is really thinking broadly about policy around how to get the economy going again, and this growing again as an economy. Yeah.
I think sort of following on to that, for our listeners that may not have had time to digest the full things, what are some of the focuses that the president had?
So I think one of the really big focus areas was definitely looking at business and labor and publishing localized sort of targets in areas on how to support agro-processing, healthcare, people who are making basic consumer goods, and industrial equipment, so looking at manufacturing. We don't know how this is going to happen, but he's saying that we're going to have a big buy local campaign or drive over the festive season to try and support local the local economy, local consumption, and try and stimulate the local job creation. He spoke about support being provided to 75,000 small-scale farmers and their livelihoods, how they've been protected from the massive disruption. He's also spoken about tourism as well, and that we need to get the tourism sector working. It's one of our biggest contributors to GDP still, and we need to get that sector working. Somehow we need to find ways to ignite it, especially knowing that global travel is going to be at a low this year, a massive low. People are still social distancing, seeing the second wave in Europe. So the euros, the dollars that we usually get, all the currency flows from Asia, our tourists coming in from Asia, we're not going to be getting as much as we should get, even in this last couple of months of 2020. So he's spoken about all of those. And I think the really big number is that there's a goal to create 800,000 employment opportunities, because we really need to reverse the massive dent and the massive job loss that we've seen. So massive dent on the economy and a lot of jobs that have been lost. He's also spoken a bit as well about 2,000 megawatts of additional capacity, electrical capacity in the sort of like medium term. So, yeah. He's covered quite a lot of areas, but I think the one area that hasn't been covered much, and I have a feeling the ratings agencies, and now because we are highly indebted as a country, and he's also said we will not meet our debt targets, is corruption. Because it doesn't matter how much money we throw at our problems, if we're losing a lot of that money through corruption, then it's going to be, yeah, we're not going to get the desired result.
And then, you know, beyond, you know, that doom and gloom, there is some hope for the resource and agricultural exports. What's going on that front?
Yeah, we've seen South African exports of resources and agricultural products shoot up. We've got some of the figures from SARS where we've seen some growth in precious metals, specifically gold. And this is also because gold itself is seen as a safe haven. When the economies, both locally and globally, aren't doing well, people run and buy gold as a way to preserve the value of their money. And we've seen gold grow in value or make gains of more than 20%, I think, this year. And our exports of the metal have definitely helped the South African economy, or helped protect it. And also surprisingly, another highlight was citrus. So it could definitely have some sort of link to everybody who's eating a lot of citrus for the vitamin C in those particular products, especially with the second wave in Europe. So we've seen a huge number of citrus products leaving the country. And it's also expected that we're going to see a lot more citrus exported over the next couple of months from South Africa.
And then,
so it should be one of the best seasons on record.
And then lastly, we understand that the COVID grant has been extended. What's actually going on that front?
So I think this is one of the efforts to probably protect the economy, protect, you know, people's ability to survive. And the COVID grant has been extended, and this is to support the poorest of the poor in South Africa, enable them to get basic goods and still be able to survive. So That has been extended by another 3 months. We don't know what will happen at the end of this period, but that's what has recently been announced.
So that's been us with our financial expert, that's Lebo Pasha, who is the general manager for the African Management Institute in Southern Africa, just giving us some insight into the week's top trending business and economics news, looking at the some highlights from the president's address around how to make the economy recover, also talking about some hope in terms of resource exports together with the COVID grant being extended. So that's been it. On the other side of this, we continue with the Buffalo Index.
Business Rep with Lebo Pasha. The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz.
In our Buffalo Index, we tell you the state of your 100 Rand. We tell you what your 100 Rand or your Buffalo can do for you. And for today, we are talking about professional CV services, since this is a jobs show. And we actually went out to find out what can you do if you want someone to professionally put together a CV for you to showcase your skills and talents to a prospective employer. And there's actually an interesting site that we found. It's called Professional CV Zone. And if you go there, a starter CV is going to cost you just around 4 buffaloes or 395 rand. That's ideal, you know, for a career seeker looking for employment for the first time or someone with limited experience. And then the professional CV, that's closer to 5 buffaloes or 495 rand. More or less 500 rand, and that is for, you know, the general career seeker who requires a professional and appealing CV and cover letter, and that one is setting you off for about 5 buffaloes. The executive CV, this is where things start getting interesting, because you've almost doubled the price, because you're now sitting at 10 buffaloes or 995 rand. This one is being said to be ideal for doctors, lawyers, accountants, engineers, project managers, CEOs, CFOs, etc. And these are people, you know, that want a comprehensive and professionally prepared, fully editable CV with, editable career-related example cover letters, all of those things. That's going to set you back about the 10 buffaloes that I said. And then an international CV for a professional or executive international career seeker, someone that wants a country-specific or editable CVs for different jurisdictions, that's coming in at around 13 buffaloes. So if you're looking for someone to make your CV for you so that you can put your best foot forward, these are just some of the options that are available to you.
The Buffalo Index on the Business Buzz. Forget what the little birdie told you. Follow us at BoFM and join the conversation. Mob Justice on the Business Buzz.
As we said, this is our jobs show. We're talking about employment during / post COVID-19. And a couple of weeks ago, I remember we spoke about the fact that the economy is not in a good place. We heard from Stats SA that unemployment has actually risen up. The expanded view of unemployment says that that's now up to 42%, according to that definition. And that more than 2 million South Africans have lost their jobs during the lockdown. A lot of that happening in the second quarter of 2020. So this is why we're getting into the jobs show, just talking about, as young people or as any young professional or someone who is in this position of being unemployed, or perhaps you're looking at your employment prospects, what does the landscape actually look like? On social media, let's engage about this very important topic. On Facebook, we have VFM, that's Voice of Vits. Our other Facebook page, it's a Vits Radio Academy. And then on Twitter, we're at VFM. We're joined on the line by Rajan Naidu, who is the head of EduPower Skills Academy, and he's just going to be giving us some insight into what things are looking like in the industry and some of the work that they are doing at EduPower Skills Academy. Rajan, greetings to you, and EduPower Skills Academy, some insights into what you guys are doing.
Greetings to you, Mudiwa, and thanks for the opportunity. Yeah, look, at EduPower, our vision is about employability. So we realize that any form of skills development or higher education, the end game is skills development, is employment and employability. So institutions must focus their training around that. So we do it by the medium of learnerships and or short courses. And we train both the employed and unemployed and people with disability. And in parallel to the learnerships, we run mentorship to try and improve life skills and improve the human being in a holistic way, as well as work readiness programs, which prepare the individual for the workplace. And because employability is basically very high up on our agenda, 25% of my very own staff complement are learners from past learnerships that were with us. So, you know, we try and live that vision and that motto.
Now, Rajan, in light of COVID-19, many people have lost their jobs, making the job market even more competitive. Given everything you've just said, how do you think young people can actually prepare for work readiness and improve their chances of actually getting employed?
Yeah, I think young people should focus a lot more on artisan and trade studies and qualifications, and not as a last resort, but as a very viable alternative to more academic qualifications. So I think that's a starting point, because I think one must realize that many academic qualifications don't have a demand in the job market and the economy, whereas artisans and tradespeople are much more easily self-employable or employable by other people. So I think that's an important point to note. I think newly qualified young graduates should also moderate their expectations about achieving, you know, high-paying management posts, for instance, in their first jobs. So they should understand that while they have the education, they may not have the skills. So the difference between education and skills is the application of knowledge in the acquiring of an economic outcome. So basically, if you're able to generate money with the knowledge that you have, then you have skill. But many young people who have achieved a qualification are not yet ready to have that skill to generate income. They need work experience for that to happen. And that generally takes around 6 to 12 months in a workplace. And that's why many employers are a little reluctant to take on first-time work seekers that have never had job experience before. Okay, graduates should try and secure a learnership or an internship to prepare themselves for the workplace, making them much more attractive to prospective employers. And remember that every year, because of BE and CETA grants, you have many tens of thousands of learnerships and some internships available as well every year. So young people must keep their eye out for that, including graduates. So many graduates can also enter into the job market via the route of learnerships as well. Young people can also assist themselves through work readiness programs, you know, digital literacy, CV development, workplace understanding, life skills, social media. You know, social media can be a very powerful tool, positive tool, but it can also be a destructive tool. So they must learn how to use it very positively, because many employers actually check social media when they're screening, or they screen the internet in general, when they're screening candidates as well. And I think learners must also learn interviewing skills. So I think that's very, very important. Very important in terms of the learners, what employers look for is work history and good traceable references. And I think it will also be very helpful if learners can maybe make a 30-second video of themselves, not a long video, not beyond 30 seconds, maybe 45 seconds at most, just showcasing who they are. If they can't make a video, maybe a color photograph of them on their CVs is generally quite helpful for them to have as well. And as I mentioned earlier, using social media in a positive way can be a great advantage. A lot of young people, particularly intellectual young people that come out of university, can start a blog or write online articles and just create a public presence for themselves. Many employers will pick this up, and they can actually point to that in their CVs as well. So we know that these people are free thinkers, you know, they're thought leaders, and many employers look for that independent thought processes as well. I think a lot of young people can volunteer or participate in civil society organizations for public benefit and establish a record of that and point to that in their CVs as well as part of their references. And I think one of the very important things that young people must remember is please ensure that you keep a clean credit record and a criminal record, because many employers screen for that during employment. And I think for me, probably the most important of all is entrepreneurship, and either through your own business or belonging to a cooperative where you share with many other young people. Entrepreneurship is probably the most underrated in South Africa, and it's something that we definitely need to work on.
Rajan, I just wanted to bring you back to something that you said just now. I really like the points around, you know, developing yourself and especially building maybe some type of a social media profile just to at least showcase that you are an independent, thinking person. But there was a point that you raised earlier on about, you know, skills, having a trade versus an academic, qualification. Why do you think the stigma still persists around some of the trades, especially when you think about exactly what you said, that a lot of the time trades do provide quite a steady stream of business if you decide to go into them?
For me, it's a social and cultural issue in South Africa. So many parents and society in general view a university degree or that form of education as having a much higher level of prestige as opposed to somebody that went to a TVET college or a trade school. And I think we need a social dialogue and a social discourse around realigning the way people view qualifications and the prestige around it. Because somebody could end up with a university degree, might have the prestige of a higher education institution, but the job market may not view it in the same way. They might view somebody with a plumber or a hairdresser as much more in demand than somebody with it coming out of the university or degree. So we have to really look and align that with what the job market wants and what makes people employable and self-employable a lot quicker than other things, because many people coming out of universities will want to be seeking employment within larger corporates, and that takes a little bit longer, and sometimes up to 2 to 3 years after they've done they're still searching for jobs.
And then I guess I like those points, because it then leads to quite nicely to the next question, just around what the difference is between learnerships versus internships and graduate programs.
Okay, so a learnership is basically a formal qualification on the National Qualifications Framework. It came about through government legislation about 20-odd years ago. It's about 30% theory and about 70% workplace practice. And learnerships are generally free. And in addition to it being free, learners can learn while they earn. They actually earn a stipend. Much of the stipend is minimum wage or better. So it's a great advantage, and they're getting everything. It's a complete solution, as well as the range of learnerships. It's across all sectors, and there's hundreds of qualifications a learner could choose from. So that's very important. With regards to an internship, it generally what happens is somebody that has already completed a formal qualification or in the process of completing a formal qualification. So somebody that may have gone to University of Technology, for an example, for 2 years, and in their third year, they might have to do 6 months of practical work experience in order to complete that qualification. Or somebody that's got an undergraduate degree but wants to move towards a professional designation. So think about the legal profession or the accounting profession, where you may have completed a degree but you need to serve a year or two before you write a board exam or whatever it is, and then get a professional designation of an accountant or a lawyer, etc. So that's where an internship comes in. So those are the differences between the two.
And then another this one for me is a personal gripe just around what's going on in the job sector, because young people are always constantly sending out CVs to multiple companies. Some people even take the time out to go physically drop off their CVs. But as you navigate more around the world of employment and the world of work and business, you begin to sort of realize and accept that a lot of the time it's about references. If there's someone in the company that can vouch on your behalf, etc., all of those things play to your advantage. So how do you advise young people to actually navigate some of those things, especially this thing of physically going out to drop off your CV, blind applications, all of that stuff?
Advise learners to just go and send an unsolicited CV directly to a prospective employer, because very often those CVs would end up in somebody's drawer or on a database somewhere, and you'd never get a response, and that would just create rejection and disappointment for that learner. So what one can do is one can go into the job portals on the internet and upload your CV to those job portals. That you could do unsolicited. So even whether or not you do, applying for a job, you can just still upload it, or you could actually look at and apply for a position. You should only really approach a company if you're invited for an interview or an assessment or something. Then only you go to a company and you engage with them on a personal basis. It's also very expensive, inefficient for you to keep paying bus fare or taxi fares to go to companies simply to drop a CV that they probably never even look at. So that's the first thing. So I think the second thing what one must actually be very careful about is one should understand what one wants out of their career, their life. So trying to send that using a lotto approach, where one actually just sends out hundreds of CVs in the hope that one in a million chance of one hitting. Look, it might happen, but the chances of winning the lotto are also very slim. You could be playing the lotto for 10 years and never win it. And you get a lot of rejection. So in similar ways, the idea is not to be sending out hundreds of CVs in every single direction. The idea for me is to be more targeted and more focused in your approach when you are applying for positions, is to troll through the internet on a regular basis, looking for positions and making application for specific positions. However, one of the big things that we must do is, firstly, before we do that, because some people do secure positions which are difficult to secure in our current job market, but they do, and those positions are not well suited. They just took the job for the sake of doing the job, and then they're unhappy, and then they might lose their job because of that unhappiness. So one must be very careful and understand what is it one is looking for when we're entering the job market. So look at the industries that we're looking for. Look at the companies that we are targeting. Look at the qualifications that we are targeting. That's very important. Do a very important self-analysis and ask yourself, what is my passion? What is my skill? Where do I want to be 5 years from now? And try and answer that question as honestly as possible. If you're not able to find a satisfactory answer within yourself, maybe ask people, members of your family that have known you for many years, people that you trust, to also give you their opinion of what they think your strengths are and what you should be focusing on. If you've got a little bit of money, you can go to a psychometrist, where they will do a whole, these are professional people that will do a whole lot of evaluations on you. And at the end of the evaluation, they will tell you, this career is most suited for you, and that's where you should be focusing your energies and your attention. But of course, that costs a little bit of money as well. But it's actually a very useful and a very powerful tool to actually have as well. So I think people must be a lot more targeted in the way they approach their applications and their job searches. And I think that's very important. Also, look out for learnership opportunities. As I mentioned earlier, learnerships, they cut across multiple sectors, multiple qualifications, so you have choices there. And every year, there's tens of thousands of learnerships that's available across the country. The idea is you've got to keep your eyes peeled on the internet, because these adverts can come up at any time. Remember, learnership can start anywhere from January to December. So you've got to keep your eye, and an internship for that matter, you've got to keep your eyes peeled and regularly search the internet for these opportunities that are advertised. So I think that's very, very important as well. The other very important thing is entrepreneurship. South Africa has an extremely low rate of entrepreneurship. The GEMS International Survey on Entrepreneurship, I think it was in 2018 or 2019, rated South Africa 49 from 54 countries that were rated in the survey, which shows that we have a very low entrepreneurial rate, even when compared to our neighbors north of us on the African continent. And one must understand why this is the case. Is there not enough opportunity from government? Is registering a business too difficult? Or is it just a cultural issue in South Africa where we've become overly reliant on government, NGOs, and others to solve problems, yet we've got such a young, youthful population with so much potential and so much talent. These youngsters can be taught to be problem solvers, risk takers, networkers, and of course, entrepreneurs. These are the people that are going to build the jobs for South Africa. It's not current business and it's not government. It's new small business that's going to actually create the 10 to 12 million jobs that we need in this country to get rid of the unemployment situation.
So that's been us with Rajan Naidu, who is the head of EduPower Skills Academy, an institution that's helping to better empower and to let people know how they can be better, you know, that how they can be more employable and prepare for the workspace, giving us some insights into what the employment landscape is looking like right now, and lots of tips just around how young people can better equip themselves to cope and navigate with the current work environment and to actually get your foot into the door. He's talking a lot just around, you know, perhaps doing some psychometric testing, but also just leveraging some of the free tools such as social media and also a color photo. This was one that I learned just now. You know, he's saying that, you know, things like that, and perhaps even a video along with your CV are things that you can help to make yourself to stand out. So that's been it. Thank you so much, Rajan. On the other side of this, we continue with the show.
COVID Biz Watch. COVID Biz Watch on the Business Buzz.
In our COVID Business Watch, we look at the impact of COVID-19 on various businesses in and around South Africa. And in this week's edition, we are talking to Nhlanhla Phakama, who is the head of Bahlitlile MM. They have a number of different units, such as marketing and sales, together with printers and events under their group. Our producer, Ntando Qimba, went and spoke to him, and he was answering questions around, given that you operate a non-essential business, how did the lockdown restrictions affect your day-to-day operations? What were some advantages of the lockdown, and what lessons have you learned from operating your business during this time? Here's what Nhlanhla had to say.
Sambunan, my name is Nhlanhla Phakama and I'm the Chief Operating Officer from Bahlitlile MM. So the lockdown restrictions has badly affected our day-to-day business operation. You should understand we are an events company. We do all types of events, and then we also specialize in printing. So in terms of events, we're working with corporate, we're working with individuals, working with artists, working with a lot of people in that space. So we had clients that paid upfront, that when the lockdown was introduced, we didn't meet the deadline of what the client wanted, because we had to adapt on how to create systems of working at home, on how to meet the due diligence of the clients that paid upfront. So it was an up and down for us to adjust. And you should understand, being in the events industry, you forever on site. It's either you're supplying sounds, either you're doing festivals, it's either a corporate wanted a certain function, conference, launches, albums, tours, and so forth. So we were just in the midst of everything. So yeah, we are indeed affected by the lockdown restrictions. So the second question was around the advantages of this lockdown. Okay, so first and foremost, the best advantage that we saw, and that was working for us, was we're working ridiculous hours. We're working ridiculous hours. You'd work from 8 till 9 o'clock, but if you're at the office, you'd work from 8 till 5. So we're working critical hours. And then I was actually having a conversation with one of my team members, telling her that we were so fast during this lockdown that we created ourselves opportunities on how to conduct visual events, hybrid, on how to do a digital campaign for clients. So we were busy unlocking opportunities through the digital space, but in our industry. So those were the advantages of the lockdown. So the last question was the lesson learned from operating during this lockdown. I think I'm gonna say it with a very genuine heart. Entrepreneurship is not for everyone. It's not for everyone because I mentioned earlier the client paid upfront, and then you have to have the tenacity of telling the client what happened, and you don't have to tell the client your problems, but the client wants the work to be done, and that's it. So we have to create ways, transforming things on how you're going to take this event and make it digitally, how you're going to negotiate this project and put it in this way, how you're going to move forward, how you're going to make the client happy, especially for those who paid upfront. We had various artists that we had worked with them. We had work with them that has to be done, but we couldn't because of this lockdown. And there were things paid, there were things booked, and so forth. We lost a lot of money. I don't want to lie, we lost a lot of money. So you have to be the best at what you do. In everything you do, you have to put your A game. You have to be the one working the hardest in the room. You have to be the one working the hardest in the room. If the storm comes, you are prepared. You are prepared. So just be the best. Just be the best at what you do. If everyone is working 10 hours, work 13. If everyone taking a lunch of 30 minutes, take 15. That's how it is. That's how it is. So far to when I answered the last question, I said entrepreneurship is not for everyone. Thank you.
COVID Biz Watch. COVID Biz Watch. On the Business Buzz. You're tuned in to the Business Buzz. Business Buzz.
We now move on to a discussion around how to increase your employability. As you heard from Lindy, the landscape is not accommodating at the moment. Things are tough for companies at the moment. She's highlighting a lot of different changes. But we want to now switch over to, given all of this stuff that's happening, how can you help yourself to actually get employed or to at least get some type of traction in the job market? Remember that you can keep in touch with us and just engage with us on Facebook. We are Vow FM or Voice of Vids, and then on Twitter we're at Vow FM. We are talking about employment. It is our jobs show, and to help us to maybe shed some light just around what some of the employment prospects or what the state of employment is in the country, we are joined by Lindy Van Den Bussolaar, who is the head of Manpower Group South Africa. That's Manpower Group. They actually help to do, you know, some statistics and, you know, just keeping up with what's going on in and around the employment sector. Greetings to you. And can you just give us a sense of, you know, what's going on? We hear that things are bad, but how bad are they?
So it depends on how you look at this. So, you know, it does sound, things do seem bad right now. We've had a huge number of job losses. But to say that there aren't opportunities out there, there are. But what we have to look at is which industries have grown or are starting to grow as a result of the COVID. And one of the areas that we really find from our side that is looking to grow is on the IT side, which makes sense. Because how many companies have gone offline or out of the office and started to work online remotely? So there is definitely an increase in the demand for IT skills out there. And to say, you know, I think what we need to keep mindful of is the fact that we need to be aware of where the jobs are growing, and especially from a graduate or a student point of view. And then making sure that we're upskilling ourselves, because, you know, the fact that we may have a degree doesn't mean that we're ready for work. And, you know, there's a lot of skills right now that companies are looking for that you don't learn in a varsity situation, like communication skills, like creativity and innovation, like problem-solving skills. So my recommendation, if I could make a recommendation, especially for the young grads, is that Manpower Group South Africa, in fact, Manpower Group globally, we have an online portal for skills that have up to 10,000 different courses, and those courses can vary from IT programming skills, Java programming skills, to soft skills, to communication skills, to Excel skills, whatever it is. And anyone who's wanting to access this this portal in order to be able to obtain some online training at no cost, all they need to do is go onto our website, and then they can request a login details for this Power U training, and then start upskilling themselves in terms of what skills are out there and what courses are available that I can use to start upskilling myself.
Lindy, you know, as you're talking and talking about some of the resources that Manpower Group is able to offer people to sort of get themselves, I guess, more ready for the workplace. As Manpower Group, can you give us a sense of what it is you guys do that's giving you guys this type of vantage point and the ability to be able to give these type of training courses and the relevant type of learnings for people?
Sure, not a problem. So our Manpower Group South Africa is part of a global organization. So Manpower Group globally is in 80 different countries across the globe. So our physical presence in South Africa may be small, but we are very much backed by a huge giant. And Manpower Group globally is the third largest recruitment business within the globe. But from what Manpower Global, a local point of view, what we offer, and we like to refer to ourselves rather as a workforce solutions company as opposed to a recruitment company, because that's not just what we only just do recruitment. So obviously, permanent recruitment, helping people find jobs, is one of the areas that we focus on. Where companies are looking to employ temporary workers, where they have may have a need right now for additional staff, which they may not need in the future, so it gives them the opportunity to flex up and bring in more people, and when the business has dropped, then they can, you know, the headcount decreases. And, you know, just as you said, as you're talking to, you know, that isn't a bad option for a young grad either to look at, you know, temporary work, even in the line that they're interested in, because, you know, if an employee or a person, you know, shows that their employer, that they've got potential to grow and they're adding value to their business, you know, there's a good chance that those people may be taken on permanently as well. So those are the two areas we do. The other areas that we focus on is we have an outplacement program. So we do know that there's a large number of retrenchments that are happening right now across our country, unfortunately, but we offer a program to the people that are affected by these kind of processes. And basically what this program does is get the individual ready for their next step. So, you know, a lot of people that are being retrenched may have not been in the job market for a number of years. They don't know how to go out there and find jobs. They don't know how to put their CV together. So basically we invest time with these individuals, preparing them to put themselves either back into the marketplace, or, you know, they may decide to go into their own business, or they may decide to go, you know, study further. So that's another area that we focus on. And then the other areas is where a company is looking for volume recruitment. Then we have a solution which is called a recruitment process outsourcing solution, whereas we go on site to the client, we handle all their recruitment needs. Normally these are project based, and when their employment needs have been filled, then we move off site. So in a nutshell, that's what Manpower Group South Africa does, and that's what Manpower Group does globally as well. So this portal, you asked me the question of how we've managed to you know, make these sort of things about tools and resources available to people is, this Power U online portal is available to anyone across the globe. So it's an international portal. It's offered to every single individual that's connected to any Manpower country, any Manpower company, in the countries across the globe. So I guess because we are a global organization, these things have been developed from a global point of view, and it just puts us in a position to be able to try and offer these to people and make a difference in people's lives.
Now, Lindy, one of the things that we're then very keen to get your take on is what the current job market, how that actually influences the future of employment in South Africa. Because as you said just now, the current job market is characterized by retrenchments. We just heard that BCX, for example, is about to enter its round of its own retrenchments just because COVID-19 has been squeezing, you know, its margins and all that. But in future, there's something that you said that was sounding quite interesting, where you said people shouldn't feel, you know, too let out by taking temporary jobs. Do you sort of see that as a characteristic of a future workplace where temporary roles or more project-based roles will become more of a thing in future?
I definitely see that as what's going to happen, you know, whether that's long term or short term. But for now, with the environment that we're sitting, I definitely see that as an option. And there's a benefit to both the client and into the candidate, because the client, obviously, as I mentioned earlier, they may have a need now, or there may be a headcount freeze. They've retrenched, as a company may have retrenched, and they're not allowed to bring on any more new employees. But right now, they've gone through the process. A couple of months down the line, they may see the need. They need to bring extra staff in just to deal with a specific need. That need may not be long term, and then they bring the people on a temporary basis. And then when their need has been filled, the people, you know, then exit. And then there's an opportunity to go and find other opportunities for temporary employment. But at the same time, as I mentioned as well, you know, there may be some months down the line or a year down the line, or this person's been temping there, or and they've proved themselves, and the client then might make a decision that, okay, let's make this person a permanent office. So I do believe that's an opportunity for everyone going forward. I do believe we have experienced it from our own company point of view. The temporary employment requirement is increasing. And it just makes sense because it gives clients flexibility and it gives candidates the opportunity to obtain new skills within different organizations.
And also, you know, when you're just looking at the future of work and people best positioning themselves, you know, graduate programs and things like that have always tended to be a good way that young people can get themselves into an industry, into a company. You know, they work there, and I guess it's sort of similar to the temping situation you give. After some time, you build a relationship, and maybe people decide that, oh no, we can take this person on. But do you see graduate programs and I guess some of those internships continuing to be something that companies still, you know, want to do, or are people so stretched at the moment that they can't invest in such things?
You know, there's a mixed feeling out there in the market at the moment, because we are involved with some companies in terms of their graduate program helping them find graduates for their different programs. Now, that was a big uptake at the beginning of 2020. So obviously, with what's happened, companies are still doing the grad programs, but they've scaled down. But I don't see the programs disappearing altogether, even under the current circumstances, because, you know, we need to be bringing in people that we're training up with the skills that we need. Because if we're not giving people the skills that are required, and if we're not, you know, continue to build this pipeline of individuals, then the businesses are going to suffer. So we can't stop investing in young people and in the young skills and making sure they have the skills that are relevant in the market, because that'll impact our employment and our business performance going forward. So definitely it is something I believe that will continue to happen in the future.
And the other one, you know, this issue of unemployment, it's quite a sensitive one, and especially as, you know, we're hearing how much the numbers have been going up. The other one is just, do you foresee a situation, because one of the trends with young people is, I think they call them slashers. You know, you are a, you know, gig economy worker. Maybe you're a photographer by day, a scientist by night, and a teacher on the weekend. Is that something that you also see being a trend in future? And also, I guess coupled with that is companies. Do you think companies are more willing to just accept that employees will be looking for opportunities in other places and just doing more than one thing at a time?
So, okay, so you're looking that we're going to have more than one job at a time. That's an interesting conversation because, you know, that's, a lot of companies don't allow that when you're employed with them, you know, that you disclose that you're required to disclose that you may have another occupation, say it's at night. And I guess it's individually company-based. And I think, you know, and that's not something that, you know, we can prescribe to. It's an individual company that will make that decision. And I guess, you know, if someone's working on a 9-to-5 job, then they go out doing another job in the evening to make more money. You know, if in my mind, and I said, this is going to be client specific. This is not going to be a rule. It's going to be whatever a client feels like, is happy to do. I don't think, and I said, this is my opinion, that if that secondary job is not influencing the person's performance, then there's no reason why that could happen. I must be honest, in the recruitment that we've done, we haven't experienced that. We haven't come across that people are looking to do a day job and then have a night job because they need the extra money. I haven't come across that. Interesting to, you know, now that you've mentioned it, to watch the market space and see in terms of is that going to happen? Are we going to get candidates saying, but listen, when you present my CV to a client, just make them aware that I also have a job that I do from 6 to 10 at night, whatever the case may be, is that going to be a problem? So a nice point that you brought up for us, because it's something we haven't experienced, but I think it's going to be something to watch for in the future.
No, thank you so much. I think the reason I brought it up is just, you know, just talking to people and just seeing what's going on in and around even my circles, because if companies are paying, in some cases, people took pay cuts because of lockdown and there hasn't been that recovery. Some people are then saying, well, you guys were paying me X amount, but now you're paying me 60-70% off that. I need to make up the difference in one way.
You know, no, you're 100% right. And I think that's a discussion that, you know, individuals have to have with their employer. And that's an employer's decision to make. You know, that's just, if they're comfortable with, I mean, and I think this is where employees come in from an empathetic point of view, because yes, we've dropped people's salaries may have been reduced by 30% or 40%. People still need to survive, you know. So I think there's the flexibility for that could be an option. And again, I think it's just an individual company's decision whether or not they allow that.
And then lastly, as Manpower Group, how can people, you know, particularly our young people listening to this right now, perhaps either get in touch with you, your team, or the company, engage, and if they want to maybe take advantage of the resources that you were pointing out earlier?
So I'd just like to direct everyone to our website, which is www.manpower.co.za, because all our job opportunities, the request to get access to the Power U online training portal, all of that sits within on our website. So I would refer them there and then take that as the first step as to, you know, discovering what it is they need after that. But all our information sits on the website.
So that was us with Lindy Vandenbasselaar, who is the Managing Director for Man Group South Africa. And she's just giving us some insight into what the state of the workplace actually looks like right now. They are an employment specialist, but she's saying that we go beyond just being a recruitment company, also just helping companies coming up with, you know, strategies and all that. And she's just giving us some insight and saying that at the moment things are tough, but as a young person you can take whatever opportunities come your way, even if it is something that is temporary. Unfortunately, that is what the state of the economy looks like. Hopefully in about a year things do evolve. Also, just talking about the issue of the gig economy becoming more prevalent, what happens when you know, some of these evolving discussions, what's going to happen to graduate programs, what happens to people having more than one role? Certainly quite a fascinating discussion. So that's been it. On the other side of this, we continue with the show. Keep it locked. This is The Business Buzz.
You're tuned in to The Business Buzz.
And with that, we've come to the end of today's show. And thank you so much to Lindy and to Rajan for sharing their insights with us and just giving us an overview of what employment is actually looking like in the country on the ground and some of the things that that are available for people to be able to do some of the options that are out there, some of the tools that people can leverage. It's also good to see that there are companies like this, like Manpower Group, like EduPower, that are there trying to help people to become more employable, at least giving people advice on how they can approach the current jobs market, which has not been kind to anybody. One of the things that would be good to see going forward in terms of developing the discussion and conversation is, you know, that chat that we're having with Lindy earlier on about the policies that companies have around people having more than one job. Because if you're a company and you've reached that stage where you can't pay your workers as much as you were able to pay them in the past, then it's just patently unfair for you to expect that they can just be loyal to you and do work for you alone, because people have bills to pay, people have food on the table they need to provide for families, children, mothers, fathers, daughters, children. All of this stuff needs to happen. There are a lot of obligations that people have on their hands. And we might just start seeing more of a gig economy type of trend happening, or at least slashes people that are doing more than one job at a time, because people need to make money and life is becoming more expensive. That is one of the ironies of the current economy, that despite the fact that lots of people don't have work to do in terms of formal employment, the prices of things keep going up. The price of fuel, you know, that's rising. You know, the rand is weakening, which means imports also rise. You know, all of these different factors are playing on people's minds. So companies really do need to make you know, some better decisions around the relationships that they have with some of their employees. So that's been it. Remember that you can engage with us on Facebook, we have our FM or Voice of Vids, our other Facebook pages, Vids Radio Academy. On Twitter, we're #BusinessBuzz and our handle is @VowFM. You can also search for us on iono.fm for our podcast, and all our links are available there. And for other great content, you can find us on vids.journalism.co.za/business. So with that, we've reached the end of the show. Thank you to our amazing team. Our technical producer is Kotlwano Serame, together with our executive producer Glory Mabuza, our producers Slindle Msibi and Tando Klimba, together with Simbarashe Honde. Don't miss the Business Buzz, same time, same place next week for more insight into the world of business. Don't turn that down, there's more great content coming up on the VAR FM lineup. So for myself, Mdio Mob Justice, and the rest of the team, it is take care.
The Business Buzz Podcast.